RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. BNN to turn Kampung Kubur into narcotics-free area. The government prioritizes sanitation development in 10 tourist destinations. B.J. Habibie reminds government to improve Indonesia's human resources. Now the news in detail. The National Narcotic Agency BNN has revealed a plan to turn the notorious Kampung Kubur neighborhood in Medan, North Sumatra, into a model for drug-free area in Indonesia. Speaking during a recent visit to the neighborhood, BNN Chief Commissioner General Budi Waseso said Kampung Kubur was once a haven for drug traffickers, but intensive raids by local police and the military in recent months had gradually cleaned up the area. In a dialogue with local residents, Budi said the project would include multiple parties, including community figures and religious leaders. He stressed that the role of local community members was crucial, as they would be able to prevent drugs from entering the village. Located in Medan's downtown Petisah district, the Kampung Kubur neighborhood has long been a hotspot for narcotics and drug dealing activities in Medan, the country's third largest city with a population of more than 2 million. During a raid held earlier this month, the police arrested a young man for possessing marijuana and allegedly running a drug dealing operation. The police also confiscated 23 slot machines during the operation. Budi said such intensive operation had significantly limited the space of movement available to drug traffickers. The government is giving priority to improve sanitation and drinking water facilities in 10 tourist destinations currently being considered on priority for development. According to the plan, the sanitation and drinking water facilities will be where good infrastructure facilities are required. These destinations include Labuan Bajo, Lake Toba, Borobudur Temple, and Mount Bromo. Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono said in Jakarta on Saturday, the President has instructed to develop sanitation facilities in Labuan Bajo of a standard as good as that of similar facilities at four-star hotels to enhance tourism and improve visitors' experience. Basuki said the project will take off this year. He refused to divulge the amount of funds needed to finance the project, saying it will not be too large. He said the development of the sanitation and drinking water facilities will be taken care of by Public Works and Housing Ministry and will not involve any private or foreign parties. General Chairman of Golkar Party Abu Rizal Bakri has expressed a hope that the party will be able to hold its Extraordinary National Congress or Munaslup this year. Speaking at the opening ceremony of the National Leadership Meeting of Golkar Party, one of Indonesia's largest political parties, in Jakarta on Saturday night, Bakri said that Golkar's Munaslup should be carried out before this year's fasting month, which is expected to be coinciding with July 2016. Thus, Golkar will have enough time for a consolidation in a bid to compete in the 2017 regional elections, or Pilkada. He did not specifically say if he would join the Munaslup, which will be conducted by the party's transitional team led by Yusuf Kalla, the former Golkar Party General Chairman and currently Vice President of Indonesia. The National Leadership Meeting or Rapimnas of Golkar Party was opened by Professor B.J. Habibie, former President of Republic of Indonesia. Meanwhile, former President B.J. Habibie has reminded the government to improve the quality and capability of Indonesian people instead of only relying on natural resources. According to Habibie, the future of a nation is determined by the quality of its human resources, not by the quality of its natural resources, which values tend to fluctuate. Habibie said in his remarks at the National Leadership Meeting of the Golkar Party in Jakarta on Saturday that human resources needed by a nation are the ones who understand and have values that reflect their cultures and religions. He added, history has proven that human resources are the key. Habibie also cited an example that currently Middle East countries are facing a difficult time because of the fluctuation of the oil prices. According to him, although big plans have been prepared, for example, by paying expensive consultants, yet countries in the region continue to face difficulties. This is because 90% of their budget is allocated to the management of oil. Last item, a senior Golkar Party member, B.J. Habibie, while delivering his address at a Golkar meeting in Jakarta on Saturday night, has asked the government to stay neutral and does not respond to the issue of any conflict within political parties. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan and Law and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lauli also attended the meeting representing President Joko Widodo. B.J. Habibie said the presence of the two ministers reflect that the government would remain neutral in responding to the conflict within the Golkar Party. Also present at the meeting were Deputy Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly Mahyudin, Chairman of the Regional Representatives Council Irman Guzman, and some Indonesian political parties' leaders. To end the news, here are the main points once again. BNN to turn Kampung Kubur into narcotic-free area. Government prioritizes sanitation development in 10 tourist destinations. B.J. Habibie reminds the government to improve Indonesia's human resources. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Yogyakarta. The biggest traditional market in the city of Yogyakarta, Bering Harjo, prepares a special place for selfie in the south side of the market. Head of Development Division at Yogyakarta Market Management Service, Rudy Firdaus, said in Yogyakarta last Wednesday, in the location, there is a new landmark in the form of the name of the market in red big letters that can be used as photo background. According to him, special place for selfie will give benefit to Bering Harjo market, especially from tourism side, as many people are expected to use it for social media. Besides for promotion, the place beautifies environment because the location used to be very slum. Location for selfie at Bering Harjo market was built in December through fund from Technical Coordinating Unit of Business Center. Yogyakarta Market Management Service plan to add the same facility in some other traditional markets, especially in the markets on the protocol roadside. Some markets that will be equipped with the same facility are Ngasem, Kranggan, Yogyakarta Flora and Fauna Market, and Sentul. Next, we move to Palembang, South Sumatra. Ampera Bridge, Palembang will become a traditional culinary center in total solar eclipse that will occur on March 9, 2016. Acting head of South Sumatra Culture and Tourism Service, Iren Kamelin Sinaga, said in Palembang that Ampera Bridge will be closed on that date and will become a place to see total solar eclipse. He explained that when the bridge is closed, various kinds of traditional food will be found on the bridge that spans on Musi River. He said that when the phenomenon happens, the bridge will be closed from 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. West Indonesia time. The eclipse will happen at about 7 a.m. local time. Before it happens, visitors can have breakfast together. The last news is from Morowali, Central Sulawesi. Gorontalo Cultural Reserve Preservation Agency found 3 hand stencils in Morowali Regency, Central Sulawesi. According to Romy Hidayat from Gorontalo Cultural Reserve Preservation Agency, the hand stencils were found when his team conducted cultural reserve inventory in 3 different places. The first one is in a cliff of Kars Hill on Pangnia Island, Tanauge Village, Petasia District, North Morowali Regency, with the cliff facing to northwest. The second hand stencil, which is visually clearer than the first one, lies on the white stone Kars Cliff in Giliana Village. Painting on the stone surface is left hand with 5 red fingers. This cliff faces to the west. The third hand stencil is in Ganda Ganda Village with Kars Cliff faces to the northeast. Like hand stencil in Batu Putih Giliana, painting in this place is left hand with 5 fingers. The age of these ancient hand stencils, according to Romy Hidayat, is unknown. It needs further research to find the answer. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date and the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with January the 24th, 1916, General Sudirman was born. Great General Raden Sudirman is one of Indonesia's most famous national heroes. He was born in Purbalingga, Central Jawa on January the 24th, 1916. 1 century ago. In 1944, he joined the Homeland Defense Army Troops, or PETA, sponsored by the Japanese Occupational Force, and served as a battalion commander in Banyumas. After Indonesia's independence, in a battle with Japanese troops, he managed to seize the weapons of Japanese forces in Banyumas. After the People's Security Army, or TKR, was formed, he was later appointed as commander of Division 5 Banyumas with the rank of colonel. And through the People's Security Army Conference on November 2, 1945, he was elected commander of TKR, or Commander of the Armed Forces of the Republic of Indonesia. His name is dedicated as the name of the main roads in various cities in Indonesia. Over now to January 24, 1927, director Alfred Hitchcock released his first film, The Pleasure Garden, in the United Kingdom. Sir Alfred Joseph Hitchcock was a British film director famous for thriller genre films. Influenced by Expressionism movement in Germany, he began his directorial debut in England before working in the United States in 1939. With more than 50 films throughout the 6 decades of his career, he became one of the best and most popular directors of all time. His innovations and vision has influenced so many filmmakers, producers, and actors. And last is from January the 24th, 1939, earthquake in Chile. On January the 24th, 1939, the worst earthquakes in history in the south of Chile was a force of 8.3 on the Richter scale happened. The death toll is estimated as many as 28,000 people. After the disaster, the government of Chile formed the Development Cooperation Agency to reconstruct and rebuild Chile. That was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with me, Rahma, entitled High-Speed Train Becomes Transportation Model in Indonesia. Listener, the Indonesian President Joko Widodo conducted the groundbreaking of Jakarta-Bandung High-Speed Train on Thursday, January 21st. This project is built on tea plantation area of Walini PT Perkebunan Nusantara, Cikalong Wetan District, West Bandung Regency. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said high-speed train gives domino effect to regional development and public transportation. it becomes solution on traffic jam in big cities. Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train will also be integrated with light rail transit or LRT to the city of Bandung in West Java. The president is sure that Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train can boost the development of rail-based mass transportation in other areas. President Jokowi assured that Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train project will not use the state budget or APBN. The policy is taken to avoid social gap in other areas. This project is self-funded by the Consortium of State Enterprises, or BUMN Indonesia, and China Railways with business-to-business scheme. This consortium is linked to PT Kereta Cepat Indonesia China. Head Director of PT Kereta Cepat Indonesia China, Hanggoro Budi Wirawan, said, "This project is targeted to be completed by 2018. According to Hanggoro Budi Wirawan, investment project in the high-speed train reaches 70 trillion rupiah. At least 75% of it is from infrastructure loan from China, while the rest is from domestic funding." Head of the Coordinating Investment Board, or BKPM, Frankie Sibarani, explained, "So far, high-speed train investment plan that has been proposed to the agency is $6.4 billion. He is sure that the realization of high-speed train can move supporting sector investment flow. State Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno stated, "Following the construction of high-speed train, coordination between ministries is getting intense, including with the Ministry of Transportation." Head Director of PT Kereta Cepat Indonesia China, Hanggoro Budi Wirawan, explained that Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train will connect 4 stations, namely Halim, Kawarang, Walini, and Tegaluar, not far from Gede Bage, which will become the center of Bandung City Administration. The total length of route passed by Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train is 140.9 km. In every station, Hanggoro added, transit-oriented development, or TOD, will be built to boost new economic center in Jakarta-Bandung corridor. In Walini, for instance, Kota Baru Walini will be built and information technology-based creative industry area will be built in Tegaluar. Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train project, according to Hanggoro, will absorb 39,000 workers during the construction, 20,000 workers during the construction of TOD, and 28,000 workers when TOD operates. PT Kereta Cepat Indonesia China head director said, each Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train can carry 583 passengers one way, and at the peak situation, it can carry more than 1,000 people. In one day, Hanggoro added, Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train will operate for 18 hours. Well, listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the weekend review, presenting some highlights of what happened in Indonesia this week. Let's start with Sunday, January the 17th, 2016. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arif Yahya on Sunday, January the 17th, guaranteed that Indonesia's tourism industry had fully recovered following recent terror attack to Jakarta on Thursday, January the 14th. Minister Arif revealed that Jakarta, particularly Jalan Muhammad Tamrin or Tamrin Road, where the terror attack took place, had returned to normal as reported by public via social media. He added that the center of the crowd during the Car Free Day that shifted from Hotel Indonesia Roundabout, Monas and Senayan to the terror attack location, so the situation has returned to normal. People reported the condition on the ground zero via social media. Minister Arif claimed that the international community's trust in Indonesian tourism has been restored. He revealed that the Sound Seas Voyager would be on schedule to arrive in Sabang Aceh on January the 21st, carrying thousands of tourists. And next is
On Monday, January the 18th, Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil was invited by President Joko Widodo to discuss a plan reintegrating the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed rail project with Bandung Light Railway Transit Project. Ridwan Kamil added that he would urge President Joko Widodo to expedite the issuance of presidential regulation on the projects. Upon the approval, he said that both projects would be operated by PT Kereta Cepat Indonesia China. Ridwan revealed that the project was to be handled by the Kereta Cepat Indonesia China. The central government would have to provide an additional fund of 7 trillion rupiah or $522 million. He also explained that Corridor 2 of the light railway transit would pass Gede Bage, Central Bandung and Cimindi. On Tuesday, January the 19th, House of Representatives Speaker Ade Komarudin said that the Parliament would agree on the government plan to revise law on combating terrorism and offer two options for the revision. However, he said that the revision would need time since the House need to go through procedures and stages. Ade said after meeting President Joko Widodo at the State Palace on Tuesday, January the 19th, the revision must be initiated by the government. Adding that if the condition was in an emergency state, the House suggested the government to draft a government regulation in lieu of law or perpu. He revealed that his meeting with President Joko Widodo had not resulted in a decision of which option to be taken by the government. He said that the president mentioned about a plan to expand government authority to prevent terror attacks. However, he refused to explain the details of the plan. Earlier, President Joko Widodo invited leaders of high state institutions to discuss the anti-terrorism law revision. President Joko Widodo placed Indonesia's dreams in a time capsule to be opened in 2085 before it was planted at Hapsana Saib Field in Merauke, Papua on Wednesday. At the ceremony, President Joko Widodo called on two elementary students, Lahir Fabiola Ogilin, an 11-year-old female sixth grader from Hati Kudus Elementary School in Merauke, and Lois Ferdinand, an 11-year-old male student from the same school, to read out Indonesia's dreams. The students, accompanied by President Joko Widodo, took turns to read out the 7-point resolution on stage, which are: first, Indonesia's human resources will have intelligence higher than that of the other nations in the world; second, Indonesian community will uphold and respect pluralism, culture, religions, and ethics; third, Indonesia will become the center of education, technology, and world civilization; fourth, the community and the government officials will shun corruption; fifth, infrastructure development will be carried out evenly across Indonesia; sixth, Indonesia will become a self-reliant and influential country in Asia-Pacific region; seventh, Indonesia will become the barometer of economic growth in the world. Next is from Thursday, the Indonesian government is planning to set up a special corporate body to develop new and renewable energy in several parts of the country. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said noted after a limited meeting on electricity at the Vice Presidential Office on Thursday in Jakarta that the body will be similar to the State Electricity Company PT Perusahaan Listrik Negara or PLN. He stated that the government is still studying the model of the corporate body. It can be a subsidiary of PTPLN and that investors will not harbor doubts about it. He remarked that with the creation of the special corporate body, the government will provide subsidy to achieve the economic price of new and renewable energy. He affirmed that the accelerated development of new and renewable energy will significantly contribute to energy supply in the long run and will ensure energy security and self-reliance in energy. Last is from Friday. The National Police on Friday named Suna Kim, also known as Afif, as being one of the attackers who committed in carrying out bomb attacks at Jalan Tamrin and Sarinah Department Store in Jakarta. National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said in Jakarta on Friday that Afif is the one who was in jeans, a black t-shirt, and a hat. Afif was arrested in Aceh for his involvement in a training exercise to carry out terrorism-related acts and was imprisoned for 7 years. However, the disaster victim identification team of the National Police is still carrying out the identification process to ascertain by collecting DNA samples from Afif's family members who live in Sumedang District, West Java Province. Jakarta Metropolitan Police Command Chief Inspector General Tito Karnavian has confirmed that the terrorists who orchestrated the attack in Jakarta on Thursday were linked to the ISIS terror group. Well, that was the weekend review of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. The National Narcotic Agency, BNN, has revealed a plan to turn the notorious Kampung Kubur neighborhood in Medan, North Sumatra, into a model for drug-free area in Indonesia. The government is giving priority to improve sanitation and drinking water facilities in 10 tourist destinations currently being considered on priority for development. General Chairman of Golkar Party Abdul Rizal Bakri has expressed a hope that the party will be able to hold its extraordinary national congress or Munaslup this year. Former Indonesian President B.J. Habibie has reminded the government to improve the quality and the capability of Indonesian people instead of only relying on natural resources. Habibie, while delivering his address on a Golkar meeting in Jakarta on Saturday night, has asked the government to stay neutral and does not respond to the issue of any conflict within political parties. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, you are still listening to English Bulletin from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Coming up next, we've got Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will take you to Bondowoso in East Java to enjoy the beauty of Gentongan Waterfall. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Gentongan Waterfall is situated in Watu Capil, Kalianyar Village, Bondowoso, in the area of Perum Perhutani Bondowoso Forest Management Unit. The name Gentongan comes from Madurese language, which means hangers. This name was given by local people whose language is Madurese. The waterfall, which has a height of about 20 meters, is quite unique, because the water flow is a continuation of Kali or River Pait and seepage from Mount Ijen Crater Lake. Another uniqueness of this waterfall is when visited during the day, splashing water between the rocks will sparkle like gold when exposed to sunlight. The position of the waterfall looks like hanging on the cliff rock. Hence, local residents call it Gentongan Waterfall, which means hanging. The hanging waterfalls with the charm of artistic surrounding rocks, making the scenery around it truly amazing. As said before, Gentongan Waterfall is located near Mount Ijen Crater. However, you needn't rush to the crater if you want to go there, for you will pass Kalisat Jampit Garden and there you will find the hidden beauty of Gentongan Waterfall. There are three ways to get to the waterfall. The first is passing through vegetable gardens. This is because the location of the waterfall is right behind residential area. But it is advisable not to pass this first track because the road is steep and slippery. So although it could be faster but very dangerous. The second way is the path down the gorge just about the waterfall, but this is also quite risky, especially if you are not used to going down the ravine. The third line is the safest one because it goes through a downhill road next to a football field. In fact, in order to facilitate tourists in reaching Gentongan Waterfall, Bondowoso District Government has made a special path, although a bit far, but it is safer. If you come by a motorcycle, you can leave it on one of the residence houses, while car can be parked on the Watu Capil Elementary School yard. Then you can continue by walking down the path down the cliff for approximately 1 kilometer to the waterfall. Gentongan Waterfall has a slightly greenish blue water and bubbly. This is because the water comes from the seepage of Mount Ijen crater, which is rich in sulfur content. Therefore, if you cannot stand the pungent sulfur smell, it is advisable to wear a mask near the waterfall. Some say not to get too close to the waterfall because of splashing water can cause itching and burning when in contact with ice. However, according to local people, this waterfall has a property to cure skin diseases or itching. The trick is to pour the water on it. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder, which introduced Gentongan Waterfall in Bondowoso, East Java. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including arts and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be about the Australia-Indonesia Cinema Festival 2016. So stay tuned in, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Australia-Indonesia Cinema Festival is to be held again. Organized by the Australian Embassy in Indonesia, the annual festival this year will be held at Plaza Senayan 21 from January the 29th until 31st. The Australian Ambassador to Indonesia, Paul Grigson, said the embassy had been looking for the right moment to hold the festival. According to the ambassador, this year is considered the year of luck for both countries, since cooperation between the two countries in the field of creative industries such as film, fashion, and arts has been flourishing. According to the ambassador, after being absent for several years, the Festival of Cinema this time is to bring a new concept. The vacuum was caused by the need of careful preparation to hold such a film festival and seeing the interest in cooperation in the field of creative industries in both countries. He added, the Australia-Indonesia Cinema Festival 2016 is the beginning of cultural cooperation between Australia and Indonesia throughout 2016. This event is a celebration of the thriving film industry, both in Australia and in Indonesia. It aims to introduce the creative industries of Australia and to seek talented filmmakers in Indonesia. The festival is expected to increase collaboration between Indonesian and Australian filmmakers. The Australia-Indonesia Cinema Festival 2016 will present the latest Australian films like Backtrack, The Dressmaker, Paper Planes, and Oddball. In addition, a number of films made by Indonesian director will be also screened, among others, The Killer. Indonesian directors Joko Anwar and Marisa Anita have been named as ambassadors to the festival this year because they have a special relationship with Australia. The movie Johnny's Promise of Joko Anwar was screened at the Sydney Film Festival and Anomaly Modus at the Melbourne International Film Festival, while Marisa Anita is an alumni of the University of Sydney who played in Merrily We Roll Along, directed by Stephen Sondheim at Seymour Theatre Sydney. Joko Anwar said that this event becomes an opportunity for Indonesian audiences to get to know Australian films. The screenings are to be held in 3 days, divided into 3 themes. The first day is Friday Fright Night theme that plays such horror movies like Backtrack from Australia, Killers from Indonesia, and Grave Torture made by Joko Anwar. The second day will screen The Mirror Never Lies from Indonesia and The Dressmaker from Australia, which are included in the category of Secret Saturday. And on the third day, there will be Paper Planes and Oddball from Australia. Well, that was Miscellany Today, which telling you about Australia-Indonesia Cinema Festival 2016. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Shahzad Shabir in Pakistan. We have received his email through Facebook fan page. And in his email, Mr. Shahzad Shabir said that he enjoys shortwave service. It is nice to be able to listen, learn, and find out about different countries and cultures around the world. Hello, Mr. Shahzad Shabir. Thank you for enjoying our programs, and if you have any criticism and suggestion, please send them to us, because listener satisfaction is our priority. As your request, we'll send it to your home as soon as possible, so please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Because you love Indonesian music, we'll play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners. Wherever you are, enjoy the song.
Menghanyutkan siar bulan, buram kaca jendela, semuram waktu yang berlalu. Sedang ku masih menunggu ungkapan rasa dari keinginan baikku untuk bersama menempuh jalan hidup. Tak usahlah kau ingat bayangan gelap kenyataan, diri tanpa sutradara. Relakan niat tangan demi keinginan baikku untuk bersama menempuh jalan hidup. Ingin selalu dekatmu sepanjang hidupku, membawamu ke puncak bahagia. Ingin selalu dekatmu, nikmati mentari, mendekatmu di bawah cahayanya.
Listeners, now we will reply an email from Voy Listeners Club of Bangladesh. In his email, the club said that Voy Listeners Club of Bangladesh started its journey towards the future and club slogan, which is a hub of informing, connecting, and dignifying. And the club's goal is establish a firm friendship between Indonesia and Bangladesh. Hopefully, the club will be able to make a bridge with Voy and also our fans in Bangladesh. Hello, Voy Listeners Club in Bangladesh. Thank you very much for your attention and also appreciation on our broadcast. And we hope your club will be bigger and bigger and more fans will join your club. And your goal will immediately come true. We are proud of your efforts and hopefully your club always listens to our radio and send your reception report. Thank you very much. And special for your club, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Ketika kau lewat di hadapanku, biasa saja. Waktu perkenalan lewatlah sudah. Tetap mengasyikkan cara
Jam.
Kamu gimana sih? Harusnya kan gak terjadi.
Ini sudah terjadi. Kamu kok nanggapinnya sambil lalu? Ini salah kamu. Kamu bicara. Harusnya kamu...
Listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we continue to reply an email from Rafael in Colombia. We have received his email dated January 14, 2016. Thank you for your email, Mr. Rafael. In his email, he said that he is a radio listener. He is 43 years old, and he works as a financial planner. Mr. Rafael, we hope that you are interested in our programs, and those programs are useful for you. Please send your reception report of our broadcast, because through your report, we will be able to know how our broadcast can be heard in your country. Well, Mr. Rafael, we are waiting for your next email with your reception report in detail. Thank you. Well, listeners who are listening to our radio now, we will play a beautiful song special for you. Let's check it out.
Aku tak sempat lagi memikirkanmu. Aku tak sempat lagi ingat dirimu. Cinta tinggal cinta. Aku tak butuh lagi. Aku tak mau lagi melihatmu. Aku tak mau lagi ingat dirimu. Sudah ku putuskan meninggalkan dirimu. Aku tak begitu jika kau harus terluka. Bagiku dirimu tak pantas untukku, sudah ku putuskan meninggalkan dirimu. Aku tak begitu, tak seperti dirimu.
Listeners, those were emails that we have received, but actually we have received so many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for all listeners who have liked and also visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and for being our regular listeners. And we appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Coba untuk melupakanmu, namun aku tak mampu. Oh kekasihku, telah ku coba untuk jalani semua rasa cintaku yang tulus untukmu. Jauh sudah ku jalani arti hidup ini, yang ku harap dapat buatku berdiri. tanpa dirimu di sisiku lagi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.